But I take God at his word. You know, I take it point blank. I take it point blank that this is what he said. This is the end of the conversation. I take what God say and what man say, I don't take it. When we hear people heeing and hawing and around with the word of God, not willing to speak it clear and plain, just like it's written, you know, it's a warning to back off from these people, these individuals. You know, I would rather fear God rather than man. So, saints of God, we're going to pick up with this where we stopped off today. We're going to pick up with this in our next session. We're talking about adding and taking away from the word of God. We cannot please man. God has not given us the things that we should please. We should please man. He's given us the things in his word that pleases him, not things that pleases man. So we're going to pick up in our next session on this particular scripture. And we want you to make sure that you have your pen and paper and that you're listening and that you're taking notes. God bless you. Until next time.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger,
but on a tree, you died to save man. The tree.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Ephesians chapter 4. I want to look at, if you will, verse 26 and 27. Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27. And it says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, dealing with difficulties without becoming difficult. Dealing with difficulties without becoming difficult. One of the words that Paul speaks to the church at Ephesus has to do with putting on the new man. And in putting on the new man, there are some things that he highlights and spotlights for us. You look all around this text, there are many things that he talks about in these words before us. But as we spotlight again these verses that help bring us to the point of understanding that the new man that we put on, the new nature that we operate out of, has more to do with the examples and the love demonstrated through Jesus Christ to us and thus through us to our human brothers and sisters of the faith and even those outside of the faith in the human realm. One of the things that he talks about, if we back up just a little bit, he says, and verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. But if you back up a little further, it says in verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, look again, verse 22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And verse 21 says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ. I just wanted to back up into that to help you realize where the problem is. We can't deal with difficulties and process them and operate in them the way that Jesus did until we learn Jesus. You see, he gives us examples and demonstrations and illustrations of how to handle difficult people, difficult places, difficult positions, difficulties, period. And he shows us how to do that while yet maintaining control while everything about us might be chaotic. Just because everything else is falling apart don't mean you ought to fall apart. Just because other folk act a fool don't mean you ought to act a fool. You've got to realize who you are, whose you are, who you represent, and who, again, has vested in you the things that belong to him. So, again, it brings about a brand new light of understanding because many of us have not so learned Christ, not learned how he operates. How could Jesus deal with folk? I mean, Jesus has some stuff to deal with. First of all, he had in the 12 disciples, one of them was a devil. Then he had, not only did he have a devil, but he had a doubter. I mean, at the worst time in his ministry does the doubter show himself in full doubt.
That's it.
But then he has some folk who are undecisive because any way the wind blew, they just got up and went with that, even after hearing him and receiving information as it relates to revelation on scripture. And he had some difficult folk right in his circle dealing with. He had a fussing, cussing, fighting preacher who led the whole deacon ministry called Peter. I know y'all don't believe it, but it's in the text. He had a brother who held the treasury purse, who was more concerned about his own ability to gather and gain and dip in the treasure, unbeknownst he thought to Jesus. And I mean, he just had some unsavory men around him beginning his ministry. But one of the reasons why Jesus did this is to help us understand that even though none of us are perfect and all of us have our issues and our shortcomings, that when we allow his word, his will, and his way to be enacted in a situation, circumstance, or used as a criteria, it will always come out victorious. One of the reasons why, in spite of what Jesus knew, he was still who he was. And I'm saying that to say, no matter who's around you, it ought not influence you to become like them, but rather the greater good and the greater one in you ought to influence them to become like him who is in you. You can't run away from difficult people. You probably live with them, work with them, married to them, birthed them. I mean, they're all around. You can't get them. Worship with them. I mean, they're everywhere you go. You can't get around and away from difficult people. And then you can't get away from difficult circumstances.
That's it. I mean, because to whom much is given, much is required. Every day the devil is going to try you. He's going to bring out something different, something new, or take the same thing he had and strengthen it more and get a greater grip. I mean, so you can't run from difficult situations. And here's the truth of the matter. One of the most difficult persons to deal with is always with you. Some of you looking like you ain't got it. Look in the mirror when you go home. You'll see it right there. Because if we could ever learn how to deal with us, that's the beginning of life getting better. Now look at what Paul says, because when Paul brings this up, dealing actually with difficulties without becoming difficult must be demonstrated through Jesus Christ and his earthly ministry on more counts than not. Describe and share with us and for us examples of how to deal with difficulties we face every day. But Paul picks up, and Paul is saying, verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations of the old man, the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now, again, it's talking about the old nature. It's talking about the old way that we handle things, did things, so forth, so on. Many times in crossing over from an old year to a new year, there are a lot of disappointments. There are a lot of things that didn't go our way. There are a lot of things that we were not pleased with. Well, when the old year passes away, we make resolutions for a new year to do things better, to do things different, to aspire and look forward to things greater than what we've shared or experienced in the past year. The old man is like the old year. There are not many things you can do about your past, but learn from them. And if you learn from your past, you're not likely to repeat it. Now, the one thing that Paul is talking about is the fact that we're not learning. You know, a whole lot of times we get information, but from that information, we are not learning from that. A whole lot of us sit in the church, hear the word, see the Spirit of God moving through people, through situations, through circumstances, and yet we still do not put ourselves in the place where we can move in the flow and function of the things that God would elevate us to, because we've not learned. I mean, I don't know a whole lot of people that's gone to school, they ain't learned nothing. So just to say you enrolled in school don't mean that you learned, because even though the teacher teaches, it's your responsibility to learn, to grasp, to do your part, to exercise what is in you and that you've received. Notice again what he says in this word. He says, again, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That means I need to, when I come from the world or am converted from the world, because there are a lot of us who are born again a second time, but we've not been converted. So there is a difference between being born again and being converted. And a whole lot of folk have been born again and are still old babies sitting right out here because they've not been converted. Well, what does conversion mean? It means literally to change the way I used to talk, the way I used to walk, the way I used to think, the way I used to act, and start afresh. Now, if I'm starting afresh, then my example for walking, talking, living, acting, etc., in this new way comes as I follow Jesus. He's my example. He is the one that I am looking to for my new direction and for my new action, my new ambition, my new attitude, and my new activities. Notice again what it says, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The old conversation, the old way of life, the old dress, the old this, the old that, all of that came out of a deceitful lust. See, sometimes we want to make ourselves more than what we are, and we are deceitfully being deceived by the lust of this world. Listen, if my personality don't attract you, I ought not be trying to half dress. so you can notice me. If the smile don't get it, y'all ain't hearing me here. I ought not be jumping through hoops to make you see me, because if I got to do all of that to get you, I got to do that and more. And maybe you're not attracted to what you ought to be attracted to. So I got to, in my new state, in my new place, I've got to do things the way Christ. Have you ever noticed why, even in friendships, not just relationships, you attract a certain kind of people? Now you want this, but you attract this.
Come on, preacher.
I'm talking, across the board. See, what you don't realize is that what you advertise is what you attract. And you are your greatest advertisement. Now don't get me wrong. Now you got some folk who are just foolish folk. You know, now some folk, I don't care how far down, you can't stop them from reaching up high. They're going to reach up. They know they ain't going to get it, but they're going to reach up. They just want you to tell them, get back down. But at least you're going to tell them. They might say, well, you might not tell me that. So sometimes you have not because you ask not. And here, listen at this, because in every area of life, wherever you are, your attitude, your ambition, your activity, all of your thought processes is an advertisement for you, and that's an attractant also to you. Yes, sir. World puts it this way, birds of the feather. Takes one to...
Uh-huh.
Association brings on a... Simulation. All of these are things that you don't realize. So if I keep attracting the wrong kind of folk, I don't need to look at them. I need to look at me. So if I want you to respect my mind, then I need to watch what comes out of my mouth. And if my conversation is of the old man and of the old worldly lust and the former things, then I'm going to attract those of that arena.
Yes.
Now listen at this, because I want you to see the word. It says in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
That's it. Yeah.
Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us about doing that. Get your mind right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Watch what's put in your mind, because what's put in your mind is ultimately going to filter to your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart is the mouth going to speak, because what it is doing is marinating, if you will, what's in your mind. Meditating on what's in your mind.
That's it.
Muttering, speaking out of your mouth, what's in your mind. So you got to be careful to guard your mind. Listen at this word again. It says, and that ye put on the new man. Okay, well now, if I take off the old man, don't straighten out my mind, then what I am is now without the new man or naked. When you take off old clothes, the essence of you is still there. You are there, but you've got to put on new clothes now, which changes your outer appearance, but your outer appearance is changed from your inward convictions.
All right.
The reason why I don't dress like I used to dress is because I don't think like I used to think. So if I don't think like I used to think, that means then I don't act like I used to act. And the stuff that used to be an attractant to me is no longer one to me, because my mind don't even desire that anymore. So if that is the case, then the new man is going to project a new thing. New attitude. New whole, outlook. Because you see you differently, and thus others will see you differently. Look again at this word, because I want you to see this as we walk through the text. The word says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, not a perceived holiness, not that false holiness. This new man is created in God. It's in righteousness. It is being like him and becoming like him. It is operating like him. It is not you trying to pretend to be him. It is him operating out of you and changing you to the point that you are operating out of his righteousness, not your own righteousness. Because my self-righteousness in his sight is as filthy rags. And so what I need to know is if I'm going to please him, then I've got to please him out of what he has prescribed for me to walk in, and that's his word. His word reveals his will reveals his way, and out of those things, I begin to experience true and pure holiness and righteousness according to the word. Listen, it's not what I feel, what I say, what I speak only. It is about recognizing and realizing that what I am saying comes from him. Look again at what the word says now. It says, wherefore, putting away lying.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Putting away, let's park here for a moment.
That's it. That's
if I have to put lying away, it is conceivable that lying has taken a prominent position in both my mouth and my mind. In other words, it's a natural thing for the natural man just to lie.
Yeah.
I mean, it ain't got to be about nothing big. The natural man just lie just to be lying. Y'all acting holier than thou. I mean, you know. Now, come on now. You got to realize it is so much a part of the natural old man and the old nature that you have got to put it away because it's holding on for dear life while you got the new man. It's still trying to hang in the new session what it's been doing in the old session. You've got to make a conscious decision to say, you know what? I'm just not going to lie no more. And how you do that is by taking every situation one by one and saying, I'm going to tell the truth about this situation. Then the next one comes, you say, I'm going to tell the truth about this situation. Because I got news for you. A lie ain't going to keep no peace. It may break you up in pieces, but it ain't going to keep no peace.
That's it. That's it.
And I got news for you. If you lie to get peace, that's a peace that's not worth keeping.
That's it.
Listen, because sooner or later, I've said it before, all false fronts fall. It's going to be discovered sooner or later. You ain't all of that. And then if you built up something on that based on a lie, when the lie is revealed, guess what's going to happen to all that you built up? It's going to crumble down. So you've got to put away. Look at this. Lying. You don't like some stuff, just say, you know what? I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm really not trying to be hard. But I don't. You like this? No. I mean, I ain't trying to be funny, but I mean, I ain't trying to be hard neither because, you know somebody cooking, take this. You like this? No. What did you put in this? Because you don't want that stuff cooked again. Come on now. Ain't no lying. I'm going to tell you, yeah, and then I got to eat that again. Baby, do I look good? I got this on sale. I see why. You got to put lying, put it away. No, but here's what you need to realize. Look at the word, because I want you to see. I see a lot of us got a little connection with the lying going on. Huh? Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Everyone that God brings you into contact with, that you have the ability to meet or minister a need to, share with. For we are members one of another. Now listen to this, because Paul brings this more into the family of faith connection. And so we need to be real with brothers and sisters of the faith and minister to them truth. Because some folk may not necessarily be where they ought to be, and they may think that it's all right to be where they are when you have the ability to lift them to higher heights. You know, God doesn't look and smile on us when we make fun of those who are less than us when they're trying. If it's not right, don't lie to them and tell them it's right and then get behind their backs and laugh at them and poke fun at them. When they came to you asking your opinion, asking your knowledge about this thing being right or not. And so sometimes God brings people into your point of contact so that you can bring a point of correction.
That's right.
Because they're so used to so many other folk lying to them, they figure when they come to you, at least you will tell them the truth. Listen at this word again. It says, be ye angry. Be ye angry. You mean to tell me even in the new man it's all right to be angry? Yes, it is. I could be angry in the old man. That was all right. That's a human nature, a natural response in human nature. I mean, we would be lying if we tried to act like as holier than thou as many of us pretend to be, like the Spirit is dealing with us and controlling us 24 hours, 7 days a week. If you're in that place and you live in that place, that's a wonderful place to be, but the most or majority of us are not in that position, which means that we're not always in control when we don't allow the Holy Ghost to have full control. And so there are some things that happen. There are some things we do. There are some things that we deal with and share that aren't always what they ought to be. And so as a result of that, we then become angry because of the misdealings of others or even our own misdealings and deeds. And so as a result of that, we become angry. But now, again, anger is a natural response to things that are not right, even in the natural. But we have got to recognize that though we are made up of flesh, we're also made up of divinity. The flesh is the dust, the divinity is the spirit. And so as a result of that, we have got to reach another place. Once we get angry, we have got to get out of the flesh and then deal with and move in the spirit. Now listen at this, because Jesus was angry. The record is filled with the occasions where he was angry at. But the record also makes clear he didn't sin. He didn't sin. So being angry doesn't necessarily mean that you have to sin. It's a natural response. It's a natural part of your nature. But here again, when you get to that point where you have reached angry stage, then you need to recognize the Holy Spirit needs to take over from here. Because in your state of anger, you will say some things, do some things, hurt yourself, hurt other folk, on and on and on. That's where the sin part comes in. Once you get angry, you then release self to take over, and that's where you lose it at, when you let self take over.
That's it.
Too many of us don't recognize, my brothers and sisters, that the devil will work through whomever makes themselves or allows themselves to be available to him, and most times it's the folk who are closest connected with you. Because they can make you angry and push some buttons and ring some bells and do some things that other folk who are not that close can't do. And so in a moment's notice, you go off and say some things when you ought to be praying that the Lord keep your mouth and don't let you say anything that you ought not say. Because listen at this, even the word says, weeping may endure for a night, joy comes in the morning. But before it ever gets to that, it talks about his anger. God's anger endured but for a moment. Why a moment? Because that's all we could handle. If God got mad and angry like a whole lot of us and had attitudes and grudges like a whole lot of us, the moment he got mad, we'd be cut off from a whole lot of stuff. Aren't you glad God isn't like men? I mean, you make somebody mad and then you're on their list. Now, that's a problem right there with that list. See, because what you don't realize is that list will keep you angry. Because every time you look back on that list and see the name on that list, you refresh yourself in that made you angry to put them on the list in the first place. So when you got a list around, it means you want to stay in a state of anger. It means you want to stay in a place where you're vulnerable to your feelings and emotions erupting to a point where you're going to say something or do something that is not godly. Listen at this. When you become angry, you start thinking on things. And here is the choice. You can think on, according to Philippians 4, 8, 9, some good things, some pure things, some right things, some just things, some things of good reports, etc.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E.